The new.
Good morning. I know it's raining outside, but we need the rain. We really do need the rain. I live on a farm, most of you know, and Chris has been saying for days, we need the rain. We need the rain. And then the rain comes, and it's easy to get aggravated with the rain, but we forget that thing that we hoped for, wished for, prayed for is here. So, but you guys are in here, and you're dry, and the Spirit of God is in here. You were not here. You didn't make the effort to get up and come on accident. You did it with intention, and I want you to stand, and these songs are songs that you know. I tell you that as we practiced, we practiced these songs that we know repetitively this morning, even though that we know these songs, it allows us to be able to be sensitive to what God wants to do. And I want to be sensitive this morning to this moment. I want to be sensitive to this time that we have together to just be open to hear, to enjoy. There's nothing greater than hearing the voice of God. There's nothing greater than knowing where He's moving. You know, the scripture, in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. And to be aware of that and to flow in that without even trying, just with intention. And so I welcome you this morning to be in the moment. Let's be in this moment together. Let's be sensitive together. God's going to do something special today. God's going to do something special today. You may have come here not expecting something special, but God's going to do something special today. Amen. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the to be overcome.
by your presence, Lord. Oh, you're welcome. We step into your presence, Jesus. We step into your presence. Father, just continue to make us aware. Make us aware every second of every day that you are with us. Open our eyes to the things, Father, that we don't see, so that we can see what you see, so that we can hear what you hear, so that we can feel what you feel, Father. Remind us, Father, Lord, that on our hard days we need you, on our good days we need you. There's never a moment in time that I don't need you. And the beauty of needing you is the fact that you're always here, that we are never without, Father. We're never without you. We thank you, Father, for this day, for the days that are to come, Lord. And I'm just excited, excited, Father. So thankful. Oh, Jesus, we need you, Father. Oh, we need you, God. Let us never take for granted, Father, who you are, our need for you, that there is nothing too great, that, Father, those things that seem impossible, that with you everything is possible.
Never before.
I need you more. And more than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. Oh, I need you, Lord. You ever, as a parent, think you're ministering to your child and God's ministering to you? That ever happened to you? This past Sunday, Anna was getting ready to go to a camp at UGA, and Chris was taking her, and I was in the middle of a meeting, and Chris texted, said the girl may not stay. She's just uncomfortable, you know, she doesn't know anybody. And I said, well, if I gotta go get her, I'll go get her. So I texted her and I said, hey, call me when you can talk. So she called me, and I said, Anna, I said, if you're wanting to come home because you got a check in your spirit or you feel, you know, unsafe, and I said, baby, I'll be there. I said, but if you are wanting to come home because you're just uncomfortable and the people seem different, that's what she says, mom, these people are different. I want to say you're different too, we're all different. And I said, if you just, musicians are different, she's at a music camp and musicians are just different. And I said, but if you're wanting to come home because you're not comfortable and you're wanting to come back to this familiarity because you're not comfortable, I said, I'm going to ask that you press through, that you press on through. And she did. And by that night, she's like, mom, I've met the best people. By the next day, she's like, mom, I'm composing music. By the next day. And as I'm telling her this thing, is to don't try to stay in what's comfortable because it's weird to you. And because she took the step of faith and she pressed through the discomfort, just God opened her up to all these other things. And as I'm sharing this with her, and I'm saying, hey, don't stay in this place because it's comfortable and familiar. God's just saying, hey, Dusty, don't stay in this place because it's comfortable and familiar. That it's okay to trust and to step out into something that may be uncomfortable because, you know, the scripture says that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And what that looks like is not just me sitting and let's complete it, but it looks like me, okay, this feels a little different, but it's being open. But when we step out and we allow God to do what he wants to do, God's not always in the comfort. He's in the comfortable, but he's also in that thing that we're afraid to step out into. He's also in that thing, and he's, because there's always more. And you know why I need God more? Because there's always more. There's always more. There's always more. There's always more. And we have to, this next song, we've sang it over and over and over again, and it always means something different to me, and it probably always means something different to you depending upon where you are and what you're going through. But this week, this song has meant to me is to fix my eyes on what I know is true, and to fix my eyes on the fact that he has a plan, that he has a purpose, and to fix my eyes on those truths. And it doesn't matter about anything else, because as long as we fix our eyes on whatever is true, whatever is good, every time we fix our eyes, we get this measure of peace and we get this measure of grace to step out into something new, into something that may be uncomfortable, but it's worth it. If you ask Anna, was it worth it? Oh my gosh, it's worth it. So I encourage you, I encourage myself today, don't be afraid for something new. Don't be afraid to get uncomfortable and allow God to do the thing that he's wanting to do to push you into the next thing. Amen. Thank you. wonder at this great before. Moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. And through it all,
it is well with
through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me.
Father, we choose to fix our eyes on you. You are the author, the one who began it. You are the finisher, the one who finishes it. And we fix our eyes, Lord, on your goodness, on your promises, on your faithfulness, on who you are. Every second, Father. And when we take our eyes off, Father, because something hits us the wrong way, or whatever it is, I thank you, Lord, that you remind us. And you put people around us to remind us to look back up. To look back up. Amen.
How many of you know today, this morning, all across our city and our county, there are thousands of people doing this. Thousands of people. And some people think the best is not yet to come. The majority of people do love God. The majority of people do want to do what's right. They really do. And so I want to pray that this. I want to pray for our county that we just today, as people gather all over the place, their passion is stirred, their power is given them, and their purpose is redefined in their life. How many need more passion in your life for God? More power in your life? How many has got more power of God than you want? How many want some more power? How many want some more purpose? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for what's happening, not only in this county, across the globe, across this world. Thank you for people whose hearts is being turned toward you. And may today be a day of, Lord, reestablish passion and power and purpose in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to, this scripture is not on my notes, but we're talking about kingdom principles, and we're going to get into that in a few moments. But I want to share a principle with you that is one of the most powerful principles that you can know and understand, and it's the principle of parents, father and mothers, teaching their kids. You know, we're only here to reinforce what you teach at home. The greatest discipleship that will ever happen in your kid's life is you. Is you. You have the responsibility to disciple your children more than anyone has that responsibility. And you come here on a regular basis to learn principles that you can just constantly be establishing in your home. In Proverbs 1, it says, "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them," listen to this, "will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." Wow, and that's just coming from fathers and mothers who are constantly establishing principles in their children's life on a daily and a weekly and a monthly basis. My father instilled in me over and over and over again principle after principle after principle. There wasn't a day that went by that probably he said something to me that was realigning my life, reestablishing my steps, helping me to stay the course that he wanted me to stay on, that he knew that was best for me. There's nothing better you can give your children than the principles of the kingdom. Nothing better you can give your kids than kingdom principles. Nothing. Nothing. It outweighs gold, it outweighs silver, it outweighs money, it outweighs education, it outweighs everything else as you give them kingdom principles to live their life by. Say kingdom principles. Kingdom principles. What is a principle? It's a fundamental truth that serves as a foundation for a system of beliefs. That is strong. Principles serve as a foundation for what you believe. It's what you're going to build your life on. Are the principles, kingdom principles. It's a foundation for a system of beliefs or behavior. How you're going to behave is according to the principles that you believe in. And it helps you have a chain of reasoning that can take and reason things out in your life, and you can get wisdom. Say wisdom. How many know that we need that more than we need anything else? We need wisdom. You know, I've said it several times over the last several weeks. A lot of people think Jesus was a good man, but they don't really think he was very smart. Because if they thought he was really smart, they would be listening to him and doing what he says do. Right? I mean, if you got a doctor you go to, I hope you think he's smart or she's smart. And if you don't, you probably need to see another doctor. Because if you don't think they're smart enough to tell you maybe what you need to do to give you a better life. You know, I got three doctors. I got an internal medicine doctor, I've got an orthopedic doctor, and I got a dermatologist. And I trust each and every one of them. I called my dermatologist this week because this coming Tuesday I was going to have a cyst cut off the back of my neck. And so I called and I said, you know, next week after that, 7 days after that, I'm going fishing. And I don't want this to mess up my fishing trip. And I don't want my fishing trip to mess up this surgery on my neck. And the nurse said, and this really got me. She said, well, if I was your daddy. She said, if you were my daddy. That's what it's, if you and I, you know, they always ask you for your date because they want to make sure they're talking to the right person. So she said, what's your birthday? I said, 3/27/51. She said, well, if you were my daddy, I said, you may not be my dermatologist after this. If you were my daddy, I would wait and put that off because it's not cancerous. It's just something you won't remove from your neck. And so I listened because I think she's smarter than I am when it comes to this kind of stuff. Aren't you glad there's somebody smarter than we are to help us? I'm glad that God's smarter than I am. I'm glad that I've got a creator of the universe that created 150 billion galaxies. I'm going to take his word over my word, right? He created 150 billion galaxies and never got his hands dirty. Matter of fact, he just spoke it into existence. That's the kind of creator I want to follow. How about you? Principles are important because of this. But they're more important than commandments. Because commandments keep you from suffering consequences you don't want to have. But principles bring good things into your life that you want. Principles keep you from breaking the commandments. Because principles are stronger than commandments. The Bible says the strength of sin is the law. That's a powerful. The strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin is thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But Jesus came along to stretch us and to say, I'm not coming to tell you what not to do. I'm coming to tell you what you ought to do. Because if you do these things, it will keep you from going the wrong way. It will keep you from breaking a commandment if you'll do this. Jesus said, don't lust after a woman, you won't commit adultery. Jesus said, don't be angry with your brother and you won't hurt him. Right? That's pretty strong. You see, the thou shalt not steal, why? You go to jail. That's why you go, thou shalt not kill. Why? Well, you go to jail for that too. Thou shalt not covet what belongs to another. Why? Because you're going to be envy and strife and jealousy. You're going to suffer bad consequences by doing that. But if you live out principles in your life, if you believe that God's principles are more important than anything else, that they're my foundation for life, those principles will bring all sorts of good things into your life. All sorts of good stuff. In Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18, he said these, joyful is a person who finds wisdom. Let me, and I'm not doing damage to scriptures. Joyful is a person who finds principles. See, wisdom is simply application of knowledge. Knowledge is what I know. Wisdom is how to apply it. Joyful, happy is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. Wisdom is more profitable than silver. Her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand, riches and honor in her left hand. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Wow. How many want wisdom? I want these principles in my life because what they're going to do for me. I want to be How many want to be joyful? How many know things don't make you joyful? How many know that things won't make you happy? People's trying to be happy all over the world by getting stuff, and stuff just don't do it. Because I tell you what stuff does, stuff just gives you more to take care of. That's what stuff does. The more you got, the more you got to take care of, right? But principles, wisdom is joyful. It brings you delight. Gives me a path to go down. In Proverbs 4, 23 through 27, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of life. Guard your heart above, say above all else. Now, how many know what above all else means? The Hebrew for above all else is above all else. There's not anything more important in your life than your heart. You got to keep your heart right. Your heart's going to determine what you hear. The heart's going to determine what you believe. The heart's going to determine how you behave. Your heart is everything. That's why he said keep it, guard it. And how do I do that? Well, he tells you how to do that. Number one, he says stay away from corrupt speech. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Stay away from corrupt speech. If it's tearing down, if it's belittling, stay away from it. Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, only that which is good for the use of edifying that may minister grace to its hearers. Second thing he says, keep focused. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Let me tell you what Christianity and the principles of God did for me. It took this ADD guy and got him focused. Oh, he still has to hang with me and I have to hang with him, but looking straight ahead and fixing my eyes on what lies before, staying focused. Say focused. Means everything in life. Keep your goal. Mark out a straight path for your feet. A straight means stay in it. Stay consistently in it. Hold it up. Be staunch about it. And then he said, it's a safe path. Make a straight path for your feet. Stay on the... How many believe this is a safe path? Safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Just don't get sidetracked. I mean, you ever get sidetracked? You know, you got your goal, you got your purpose, and all of a sudden something sidetracks you. If you got ADD, God bless you. You need these principles more than anything else in life. They will keep you focused. They will keep you looking down the right path. They will do nothing but good for you. There's books out today, and the most popular books out today are called Mind Stretchers. Say Mind Stretchers. The most popular books out of Mind Stretchers. They have everything to do with up here. How you think is going to be how you live. It's going to be what guides you. It's going to be what's going to come out of you. And a lot of books are out about mind stretchers. One author said this, people do not have ideas. ideas have people. You think I got a good idea? That idea has got you. You don't have it. It has you. If it's a bad idea, guess what? It has you. We are captive to our thoughts. Jordan Peterson on 12 Rules of Life said that. Rex Miller has an organization called Mind Shift, which teaches people to think about old problems in a new way. I want to tell you the greatest mind stretcher that ever walked this planet was Jesus Christ. Greatest mind stretcher who ever came and walked this planet was Jesus. You're talking about stretching some people. He started stretching people the moment he started talking. Because everything they had heard, they knew, they thought they knew, he stretched them. I mean, he stretched them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. How many know it's good to be hungry and good to be thirsty? How many know that? How many know that when you're not hungry, you're probably not feeling well? You're more than likely sick, right? When you're not hungry, something's not right in your life. When you're not thirsty, something's not right in your life. And Jesus says, blessed, 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 blessed. And he goes through a whole sermon on the Mount, stretching, 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 stretching people. Until he gets to this passage, and you're talking about stretching, look at Matthew 5, 38 through 48. You have heard that the law says the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. Someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. I know we quote this a lot and we read this a lot, but how many know this is not just words? How many know that this principle, this one principle, is not lived out in the world? You know, I love Christianity. I'm going to tell you, I love my faith. But I believe Christianity's pure religion has been so tainted and so out of all the denominations and doctrines, and we want to, all this stuff that we want to believe, and nobody wants to live out and walk out the principles that Jesus came to give us. How many knows how strong a person it takes to turn a cheek? If you're sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give them your coat too. Now, this is a big one. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. You see, at that time, they was under Roman tyranny. That's why they was hoping that Jesus was coming to deliver them from Roman government. They was hoping Jesus was going to establish his kingdom right now and deliver them from Rome. And a Roman soldier had the right to walk up to any Jew, any Israelite, with his gear and say to him, and he could only do it a mile, that was a law, carry my stuff, carry my gear for a mile. And Jesus comes along and says, I say unto you, as humiliating as that is, carry it too. Boy, is that stretching? I mean, we'd be going, I'd be glad when it smiles up and put this down. Jesus said, carry it too. Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anybody else? A pagan, an unbeliever, does that. Everybody's kind to people who were kind to them. Everybody is. It's being kind to those who aren't kind to you. I don't know if you know it or not, but we are in a civil war. Our country is in a civil war. We're not shooting guns. We're not shooting cannons. We're not shooting missiles, but we are shooting at each other. We are in a civil war. And the only thing, how do I treat my enemy who believes everything I don't believe? How do I feel toward that person? How am I going to react and respond to somebody who's what they believe absolutely? Yeah. Boils my blood. What am I? Because let me tell you what's going to happen. It's going to boil your blood. That's where a principle has to come in. What are you going to do with it? Am I going to react to it? Or am I going to respond to it? Am I going to want to kill my enemy? Does it matter? Let me just read this. I just got this out of a book, and I can't do no better than this. Does it matter if we fight for our position, if we destroy our enemies, and we win temporary victories? Does that really matter? No. Will blessing ultimately come by second-mile thinking? And that's the title of this message, Second Mile Thinkers. Are you a second mile thinker? Can we actually change the hearts of enemies by how we think about them? This is tough, and it costs. The government may declare war, but our battle is in a different dimension. That's not the kingdom that we are of. Our kingdom is not a war kingdom. Our kingdom is not declaring war on people. It's declaring war on evil. It's declaring war on the enemy, but it's not on people. The Bible says that the gates of hell would not prevail against this army. And this army today is killing each other. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching really good. This war today that's going on, there's too much fighting of denomination against denomination, belief against belief, what I believe, what you believe. That's not what this war is supposed to be about. That is not what it's supposed to be about. Jesus had some men, no doubt, they were ordinary men, fishermen, tax collectors, even zealots. If you don't know what a zealot was, he was anti-Roman government. Jesus chose one of them, chose a zealot to be one of his disciples. A zealot would take a knife that was a sickle knife and walk up behind a Roman guard and open him up, just reach around him and open him up and kill him right there in the streets. That's where Jesus came to face. That was the system, that was what was going on at that time. And Jesus chooses one of them. Chooses Peter. Peter knew how to use a sword? Peter was good with a sword. Took a guy's ear off. Some people say, I think he was going for his neck. I don't. I think he was just doing what he was, just showing him how good he could be with the sword. Took a man's ear off. Jesus reached down, picked it up, put it back on the man, said, man, this kingdom's not about that. Man shall not. This is not how you're going to win this war. It's not how you're going to win this war. James and John wanted to call down fire. James and John, the beloved disciple, say beloved disciple, the lovey-dovey boy, he says to Jesus one day, let's call down fire from heaven and burn these people up over here. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't know what spirit you're of, John. And this same man said, let's call down fire and burn these people up. Is the same man who wrote the great book of Revelation and said, let's go into hell and get them all out. Look, I'm going to get excited just thinking about that. Same guy who wanted to burn them up, same guy said he holds in his hand the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Let's get them out of hell. Okay. Oh, no, let's burn them up. Let's get them out. Let's burn them up. Let's get them out. Let's burn them up. Let's get them out. Amen. Let's get them out. Let's get them out. Let's get them out. You ready? I want you to listen real close. Second mile thinkers. First mile thinkers think about themselves. Second mile thinkers, they think about others. I mean, I heard a guy this morning say this, and I thought, wow. I know that scripture. I've read it over and over and over again, but man, he painted the picture. He painted a picture. He said, Jesus said, if you're on the way to the temple, and you've got your lamb, you've got your pigeon dove, you got your dove, you got your pigeon, you got your sacrifice you want to make to get your sins atoned for. If you're headed to the temple, and you're standing in this long, long, long line, and maybe this long line is hot like it's been, and you're standing against long, and you finally get right up to just about the place you're about second in line, and you remember, I got a relationship that's not quite right. Jesus said, leave your gift at the altar and go straighten that out. Because relationships are more important than the sacrifices that you're giving. For the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit before God. That's what second. How many know that it's all about other people? That's what Christianity is about. It's to turn you from yourself to other people. You know, I thought I lived a positive life. I didn't live a negative life, but I didn't live a positive life until I've come to realize what a positive life really is. A positive life is proactive. Just not being negative is just not being negative. And you spend your whole time just trying not to be negative. And you spend your whole life not being negative and not doing anything else either. It's the reason Christianity, do unto others as you have them do unto you. That's proactive. A lot of religions said the same thing. Confucius said, don't do to others what you don't want done unto you. Now, that's good, but it's not proactive. It's not proactive. Well, let's stretch it a little bit. Do to your enemy what you want your enemy to do to you. That's, anyway, okay. First-mile thinkers think about duty. Second-mile thinkers go beyond duty. It's not a duty, it's a devotion. First mile thinkers, I got to do this. Second mile thinkers, I get to do this. I'll say that again. First mile thinkers, I got to do this. Second mile thinkers, I get to do this. I get to do this. I get to do this. First mile thinkers are about laws. Second mile thinkers are about grace. First mile thinkers, you shouldn't have done that. Second mile thinkers, how can I help you get out of that? First mile thinkers, you made your bed, now sleep in it. Second mile thinkers, let me help you make it up. First mile thinkers, you deserve every bit of that. Second mile thinkers, you don't deserve any of that. First mouth thinkers are proud. Second mouth thinkers are humble. How many know we live in a prideful era? Boy, if there ever was a time to come against pride and ego, what a battle we have facing us in our country. First mouth thinkers are vengeful. Second mouth thinkers are forgetful. They're forgiving. No vengeance. No vengeance. Every time I say the word vengeance, I'll never forget sitting at a restaurant table, one of the greatest pastors in America who just, I didn't even know him. He didn't know me. He looked at me and he said, "You want me to tell you the greatest truth I've ever learned?" And of course, I'm sitting here, a young minister sitting next to one of the most powerful pastors in the United States. What else am I going to say? Absolutely. What's the most powerful thing? He said, Oral Roberts said to me one time, and I got my attention. I never talked to Oral Roberts. He said, Oral Roberts said to me, "Nobody ever wants to pay the price of vengeance. It costs God his only son." Vengeance always costs. It costs you. It costs whomever's giving the vengeance. That's who it's costing. It costs us. You don't want to pay that price. First mile thinkers focus on appearance. Second mile thinkers focus on character and motive. First mile thinkers revile their enemies. Second mile thinkers respond in kindness. First mile thinkers could be brutal. Second mile thinkers have mercy. First mile thinkers are combative. Second mile thinkers seek peace. First mile thinkers get hot with anger. Second mile thinkers keep their cool in conflict. First mile thinkers see the building. Second mile thinkers see the foundations. I mean, the foundations is a whole lot more important than the building, because the foundation ain't right, the building's coming down. First mile thinkers don't see the coming storm. Second mile thinkers get ready for it. First mile thinkers are rigid. Second mile thinkers are flexible. First mile thinkers see the problem. Second mile thinkers see the solution. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. How many know that God wants to stretch us? God wants to stretch us. What this is really saying, what God wants is for us to grow up and mature. Billy Woodward said something to me years and years ago. I'll never forget it. He said, "If you think life gets more simplified as you grow older, you got a rude awakening coming your way, because it's going to get more complicated." And that's why you need the principles of God in your life all the way to the end, because it's not going to be simple and get more simplified. It's going to get more complicated. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that to know we have the power and the principles of God in our life, though, to face anything and everything that may come our way. These principles are for everybody. These musicians are coming. They're for everybody. And they work for everybody. And they're not prejudiced. They're not prejudiced. They work for everybody. And they, with every principle, there's attached a promise, and the promise will be fulfilled out of the principle, not out of prayer. Oh, there are times you can pray for God to do something that only he can do, and he will do it. There are times. But listen, please listen to this. Most of your promises from the scripture that you're going to inherit and you're going to receive is not going to be out of answer to prayer. You didn't hear that. Most of the promises in the scriptures, you're not going to receive out of prayer. There are times I ask God for something and he does it. He just mercifully does it. But most of the promises that I'm going to receive from the scriptures are going to be because there's a principle attached to it. And if I do the principle, the promise will follow it. Yeah, just follow it. I said the other week, Barbara and I built our whole life on seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The principle of seeking first the kingdom has added a lot of stuff to my life. I started something. You know, I took the scripture, what's sow and you reap, sow and you reap. And I've been sowing. You know, God told me one time years ago, he says, you eat too much of your seed. What do you mean? You're consuming too much of your seed. You need to sow some seed. You need to sow some seed. And I started doing that months ago. And I told Barbara when I did, I said, I don't want us to see this as giving. This is not giving. I want us to see this as sowing seed. We're not giving. We're sowing seed. Not giving. We're sowing seed. And I've told her every week almost, I reminded her of that promise, right? I reminded her of this is seed. This is seed. It's helping somebody, yeah. But I'm not giving to them. I'm giving seed. Sowing seed. And this morning somebody walked up to me and gave me a check personally. And the first thing that came to my mind was, thank you. But the second thing that came to my mind, that's seed. I'm giving you. You're sowing seed. You called it seed. It is seed. Whatsoever you sow, that which you shall also reap. I'm not telling you not to pray. You have a need. We've got Sacrament of Healing in just a moment. Healing, you know, sickness comes and bad stuff comes out of nowhere sometimes. It has nothing to do with you disobeyed a principle. We just live in a broken world. And it happens. It happens. When because you, if sickness and bad things that happen to people was because of their behavior, all of us would be dead. All of us would just, we probably wouldn't be here. Any of us would be here if everything in life happened according to our behavior and our thoughts and our actions. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good again. So we're going to have a sacrament of healing, and you need a touch in your body. I believe there are times when I have messed up. And I messed up a principle, Joy. I messed it up. And he's so merciful and kind that if I come with the right spirit and a humble heart, I say, God, I blew that. I blew that. You know what he does? He forgives me and makes up for it. He forgives me and makes up for it. But overall, if you just live by godly principles, blessings will chase you down. Blessings will run after you. So don't ever feel like things, you know, everybody here has said this at one time. What did I do wrong for this to happen? What did I do wrong? Nothing. You live in a broken down world. Things are just going to happen. So let's stand. And you're here today and you got to, there's two things I want to give this sacrament of healing to today. One, as you need God to answer a prayer that only he can answer right now. You know, I believe that we get in financial difficulty sometimes just by decisions that we made or didn't make, and just things happen like that. But you know what God is? God's a God that, well, you know what? I love you enough to help you make up for that. Love you enough to help you make up for that. But if you're here and you need whatever is outside, listen, it's outside your strength. It's outside your power right now to do anything about it. And only God can do something about it. I want you to come and stand across this front. The second thing is, if you today are going to say, I'm going to make a commitment to principles, I'm going to really, really, really give myself over to these principles of God. I want to apply them in my life. I want to bless an enemy today. I want to bless someone who's reviled against me. I want to bless them and not curse them. Wow. I want to do that. Why? It's a principle. Just come and stand across here and you say, I need God to do something outside my power, outside my strength, outside anything I can do. I need Him. I need Him to do it. He'll do it. He's loving. He's kind. He wants you to do the principles. Oh, He wants you to do the principles. But the good thing is when we fail, He doesn't fail. When we're unfaithful, He's always faithful. Always. And so these messages, these teachings on kingdom principles are not to make you feel like you have failed. They're to motivate you to work them in your life on a day-to-day and week-to-week, month-to-month basis. But I want you to know that even when you think I messed up in whatever way, He is here to say, I love you and I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to do for you what you can't do right now for you. It's outside your strength. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. We agree together, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power. It is by Your Spirit. And this oil is symbolic of Your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit goes beyond anything we can even imagine. Lord, we thank You in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. We thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus, for total, complete for strength. Thank You, God, for what You've already done, what You're going to continue to do. Jesus, thank You, Lord. Spirit, Lord. You're our God, you're our King, you're our Lord. We receive it now in the name of Jesus, above every name, you listen real closely. As a pastor, I've realized something over the years, and I'm very sensitive to what I'm saying. I'm very sensitive to the messages I speak. Very sensitive to that. I check them all the time. I check my heart. I check my spirit. I go home and I'll spend the next 2 or 3 days reminiscing about this message and thinking about what I said and what I didn't say. I will keep that first and foremost in my heart, that if I said anything or that I thought needed a little more direction, a little adjusting, I think about it. And I say, Lord, help me do what I really need to do. I'm saying all that to say this. I know when I'm in a series like this on principles, it's easy. It's easy for you to find yourself, maybe you know that principle's not operating in your life. We're not telling you this and sharing this with you for you to come into condemnation and guilt at all. At all. And this is a principle, and I'm not saying this in a teasing way or trying to be a funny. Let me tell you a principle I've learned as a grandfather I didn't know as a father. The principle as a grandfather that I've learned is that when my grandchildren mess up, I have this compassion for them that they don't understand. They don't understand what I have. They don't understand that they are teach them the principles and they get upset if they mess up. I don't. Because that's how God does us. Sin not little children, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And He is propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, for the sins of the whole world. And so I always just want to come back and kind of seal up everything when I'm talking and speaking. I always want to seal it up with the love and the grace and the mercy of God that rolls way beyond anything else. It's way above anything and everything else. It's the umbrella, if you will. It's the covering. It's the foundation. It's the walls. It's the fort. It's everything. Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He does. But please give ear and listen to the principles of God, because I assure you, they work. And if you fail, He's there to pick you back up. He's there to brush you off and go, it's okay. And aren't you glad of that? I think I'm going to start calling Him Granddaddy, because that's kind of who He is. God bless you.
God's good, isn't He? All the time. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes, offerings, and alms, if you have your connection card, a lot of you are still, and thank you, are still communicating with us, your praise reports, your prayer requests, it's the way that you volunteer to do some different things. So thank you for filling those out. You can either drop it in the offering bucket. There's a box at the back at each door that you can drop it there if you'd rather do that. But your faithfulness allows us to continue doing what we're doing. Your faithfulness of communicating with us allows us to know what's going on in your world. Next Sunday is Father's Day. Make sure you love on your daddy. Big time. It's also water baptism. You don't want to miss it. Be here for that. It'll be awesome. Amen. Let's stand. Let's worship. And then we'll be dismissed.
Grander earth is great before. Moved by the sound of His voice. And seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, well with me.
into the midst of the sea. Have a great week.